Yeah, I just want to give, a welcome to everybody who came out today. Especially glad if it's not your, or if you're not a regular attender here, really glad you came to check us out today, whatever reason it was, whether it's for the dedications or whether you just wanted to stop in and see what's going on at the church. Maybe a friend invited you. Especially welcome to you guys because, we really believe in our church. Our mission is to know the love of God so that we can show the love of God. It's not quite in those words, but because we understand that when we realize how much God loves us, we want to go and show that love to other people. So today I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about job descriptions. And we all probably have had some job descriptions in our past, whether it's from people. And we're going to look at some of the more important job descriptions that I believe that God has given each of us. But to start, I want to tell you a little bit a story about a job description that I had about 8 years ago. Now, I was going to university at the time, and it was in between the school year and the summer, and I got a job doing stucco on the sides of buildings. I was excited about this job. I heard it paid well. I heard it was, good money, and it was going to be a good experience. I got the job from a friend of a friend. I knew the guy. He was a good guy, but we hadn't hung out that much. So I got this job, and I went out on the first day. That's a good start to a story, right? That I'm talking about job descriptions on my first day. So I got there on my first day. The two main bosses weren't there yet, which was fine. Apparently that happens. They get set up and get ready. But on the site, then my friend of a friend, whose name was Tom, he was in charge. So he said, all right, I want you to put polyplastic over a couple of those windows so that they don't get any of the stucco on it. So, okay. And I was like, so how do I do that? Like, what's the procedure? He's like, it doesn't really matter as long as the plastic covers the window so the stucco doesn't get on it. Sounds simple enough, right? So I did that. I went on a ladder, got up to the windows, measured it out, cut out the plastic. The first time I did it, I covered the windows, just like he said. It didn't look good, though. It looked pretty terrible. I cut a little short at one point, so I had to tape on an extra piece of plastic. There are some creases. There are some folds. But hey, I covered the window, right? So I went on to the second window, and I started doing the same thing. And this one looked a little bit better, but it wasn't that much better. It still was pretty ugly when you looked at it. So as I was kind of moving towards my third window, the two main bosses showed up to the site. And I overheard them basically making fun of whoever put the plastic on those windows. Great start. I hadn't even met these guys yet, and they're already making fun of me without even knowing it, right? So it ended up being where they asked to take them down because they didn't look up to their standards. And I was eventually shown how to do it so I could do it properly to make it look good so that they looked the way that they wanted to. They had a job description for me to make it look a certain way, but I wasn't trained how to do it, and I didn't even know that it was supposed to look a certain way. Now, I worked there for a couple more months. It ended up not being a big deal, but it wasn't the best first day I ever had because I failed the job description that they had for me. There's probably been some times in your life that you've had some job descriptions that you couldn't meet up to the standard. Maybe it was like me, where your job at your workplace, they expected you to do something, and you didn't do it because you didn't know. Maybe they got mad at you, maybe it wasn't a big deal, but you let somebody down because you didn't fulfill the job description that they had for you. It's true in not just workplaces, but you have job descriptions with people. You have friends, family. You have your neighbors that may expect you to do certain things, and you probably have let them down in the past. Maybe your neighbor expects you to pay for the whole new fence, and you don't think that that's fair, so when you ask them, they might get upset at you or something like that. Or maybe you've had some friends who expect you to be able to help them move time and time and time again, but you don't want to do that or just help them in a certain way, and you can't fulfill that job description. Maybe the job description that somebody has given you or your work has given you or a relationship has given you and you knew about it, but you still couldn't do it. Maybe you weren't trained enough. Maybe it's just not your personality, but you have these job expectations, your job description, that you couldn't fulfill. And we have so many job descriptions. Basically, every person we ever meet will probably expect something from you. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's you to listen to them talk long times. And the problem is that you can't do them all. You can't fill all your job descriptions that have happened in the past. You can't fill them all this next week, and you won't be able to in the future. And what I want to first say to you is that's okay. You're a human. You can breathe. You can let people down. You can let your work down. Because the truth is that it's been happening throughout your whole life already. You've had to sacrifice. You've had to let some things down so that others can flourish. Maybe something you've let down in the past is you've let your health down. You haven't taken the time to exercise and do all those difficult things for maybe your personal pleasure, or maybe because you're just working too much, you couldn't spend the time to go out and exercise it the way you wanted to. Maybe some of you have had to sacrifice your work for your family at times. Maybe some of you had to sacrifice your family for your work at times. And both of those are okay in certain situations, because many of you parents may have had children that ask you to play at home with them all day, and you realize, no, I'm going to have to sacrifice that job description with you so that you can have food later tonight, because your work would not like it if you never went to work. The same thing with friends. There may be some people that ask you over and over and over again, or maybe people that just expect things from you over and over and over again, and you can't fulfill those job descriptions all the time. So it is very important to know what are the most important job descriptions. You need to prioritize the ones that really matter when they really matter. Because if you don't, you're going to be living a life where you're fulfilling the job descriptions that's probably the most immediate or maybe the easiest instead of the ones that are most important. And we're going to look pretty quickly here about a job description that is from God. And I believe it is from God for every single person who has ever lived on this planet. But before we do that, I'm going to talk a little bit about who we are. Because who we are has a big influence on what we can do. A real world example, if I gave all of you here a job description to play for the LA Lakers, to be able to dunk a basketball and guard LeBron James, none of you would be able to fulfill it. I'm fairly athletic and I still would fail miserably at that job description. Who we are, our abilities, will affect what job descriptions we can accomplish. Same might be true if I said, we need a singer for U2, Bono got sick, can you fill in? Truth is that most of us, if not all of us, wouldn't be able to fulfill Bono's shoes. So we're going to look at first who we are as humans before we can find out what our job description is and if we can fulfill it. So we're going to look at when God first made mankind. In Genesis 1:27. In Genesis 1:27, before this, the paragraphs about it are basically about God creating the whole world. He created the land, he created the animals, he created everything that's going on, and then he wrote this in Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So today, we want to see what we are as humans. And what we are as humans are in God's image. We got God and we got you. People over there can't see it very well. We got these two, which are us created in God's image. Sorry, I'll lift it up a little bit so you guys can see in the back. Maybe I'm going to put it up here and then it'll be a little bit more easier to see. There we go. So we are created in God's image. So before we can understand who we are as humankind, we need to know who God is. And I can't get into all of who God is because different parts of the Bible say that we'll never understand of all God is. So I'm going to tell you a couple key important things. First of all, God is perfect. It's kind of a little bit represented by the clearness. I know it's not perfectly clear. It's in a vase and there's no perfect illustration of God. But he is perfect. He is loving. He is joyful. He cares for everyone. So, we, as humans, created in that image, are supposed to be doing the same thing. We are able to do the same thing as God. We are supposed to, in his image, represent God to the world. And that's who we're created to be. Because if you feel yourself is somebody who's no good, never going to accomplish anything, probably too often, you're going to believe that and not going to be able to accomplish anything. But if you believe that you are created to image a holy, loving, amazing, joyful, crazy, awesome God, that changes things. So that's where I wanted to start today, is that you are created in the image of God. And I'm going to be talking a lot about Adam and Eve at the start of creation, but it also says mankind, humans, male and female, everybody is created in God's image. And that's what those are going to represent today. So what does that look like, though? Because that is what we're going to talk about, is our job description. And God doesn't wait long to tell Adam and Eve, mankind, what that looks like to be in his image. The very next sentence that Moses writes in Genesis 1:28, in Genesis, it says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" Before I get into the depths of that, right at the start, God blessed them. The job description that God has for you is not to hold you down. It is not to hold you back. It is not to make fun of you as you do some ridiculous laws that he made up. It is to bless you. If you follow the job description that God has given you to image God, it is not to make you have a terrible life where you are sad all the time. It is to give you life. It is to give you joy. It is the most satisfied life that you can live. To be a representative of God is to bless you. And then God goes into a bunch of different things: be fruitful, multiply, reign, all those things. And I think if I went into all of those, the details of what all of those could mean, it could be a message series. We could be here till 6 o'clock, and you guys don't want to be here till 6 o'clock. I don't want to be here till 6 o'clock. So I shortened it a little bit. And basically, I did, you're created to help things flourish. And I think that that's a lot of what that verse is talking about. And what God is telling Adam there is he's saying, what's around you, the plants, the animals, all of these things, you are created to help things flourish. Flourishing brings life. Flourishing brings growth to what's around you. And this is how what God made us to do. Because, in fact, God just did this. He just, the first 27 verses of the thing, talks about all the things that God created. All the things that God brought life to. All the things that he made fruitful and multiply. That covers the entire expanse of the world. And then he says, all right, you do the same. You represent me. Bring life. Help things flourish. Because the truth is that mankind was made for a mission. We are made for a mission. And that is the mission: to help bring life, to help things flourish around us. So we see Adam here, and Adam is told to do this in the garden. And that's basically all he had around him at the time. He had some plants, he had some animals, and he had his wife Eve. So God told him to help the things around him flourish. The truth is, though, that you, me, my life is not surrounded by a garden, and that's not all I have. I have a workplace, I have neighbors, I have friends, I have a family. And God wants me to help whatever's around me to flourish. God wants whatever's around you to flourish. That's your mission. Because the truth is, you are not only made for a mission, you are placed for a mission. You're not only made for a mission, you are placed for a mission. Your job, your neighbors, the barista that's making your coffee, your friends, your family, you are placed there to help things flourish, to bring life, to bring joy, to be a representative of God. Now that doesn't mean, well, you may hate something that's going on in your life, whether it's your job or whether that's a person. That does not take away, there's no clause in it being like, unless the person's really annoying, or unless your job stinks, or unless somebody's being mean to you, you can still bring life where you don't feel like it. You can still help things flourish when you don't want to. So, what I talked about earlier, and we're made for this mission, we're placed for this mission, the problem is, though, is that you can't do everything. You can't this week be like, yes, Bobby inspired me, I'm going to go out and go knock door to door and make every single person around me flourish, and I'm going to spend an hour listening to the person who's whatever, my cashier at Starbucks, and then I'm going to go and spend all the time here. Problem is that we have a limit on our time. So it's making sure that we spend the most time on what's utmost importance. And if you look at what God has done, and what God says is most important, is people. I'm a task-oriented person, so I'm not good at this, so I'm teaching myself this as much anything, and it's a big goal for me this year, is that I can look at programs, or I can look at ministries, or I can look at whatever, all those things, and I can invest in them and spend a bunch of time in them, but miss the most important thing. That's people. Because in Genesis, before this, God creates everything. And he says, I created the land and it's good. I created the plants and they're good. I created the fish and they're good. I created the birds and they're good. But I created humankind and they are very good. God put a special emphasis on people. And you say the same thing if you start reading the Bible. And we're actually going to be talking about this a little bit tonight for the story training. So if you need to, or so if you want to know more about this, come tonight, 6:30. It's a great thing to just understand a little bit more of the story, and I can't get into all the details. But God, over and over and over again, he went to emphasize saving people, loving people, caring for people. And in the most important event in all of history, Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to save all the rabbits. No, he saved mankind. There is nothing wrong with helping rabbits. There is nothing wrong with caring for your environment. I believe in all of those things. But sometimes we need to be care more about those things than the people that they were created for. So if you are going to put special emphasis on something in your life, don't make it the policies that are going on. Don't make it a program. Don't make it anything other than helping people flourish. Because all those other things can help people flourish. And that is what we were made to do. Because that is what God has done throughout history, is he has helped and tried to encourage and love mankind so they can flourish. I don't want to give you guys a concept of how of this thing that you should do without giving you some practical tips. And this is going to look different in all of your guys' lives. And the Bible is really good at giving concepts and then teaching you how to live that out. They won't say it for your special, for your individual life and say, you know, that neighbor that's three doors down, you need to go love them. But what the Bible does is gives you some how-to tips. Paul, writing to a church, gave a list of things on how to love people. How to be fruitful is actually what he called it. So for us today, it's how we can help people flourish. That list, some of you might have heard it, it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience, it's kindness, it's generosity, it's faithfulness, it's self-control, and it's probably something else that I missed. I have a list there, but that's about it. Gentleness. That's one I like to forget. Those are things that when we see in other people, we want to hang out with them. I want to hang out with that joyful person. I want to hang out with a person who is just really kind to me. I want to hang out with a person that's gentle. Those are the people that give me life. So that's the person I should be to others. All of those things are the things that God is, and we should do the same. There's probably one or two of those things that you know you can work on. And each of the past couple years, there's been ones that I've picked a word for the year to grow in. So I'm not going to tell you to grow in all of those because you can't grow in all of those. Maybe you can grow slightly in all of those. But try to focus on maybe one of those this week. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, self-control, and faithfulness. I didn't do it in the right order, but that's all of them. That's one way that we can help people flourish. The Bible gives us another couple tips. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God by loving people. So that was the first word in that list. How are you loving people? Because when you love people, you are helping them flourish. You are helping them grow. You are helping give them life. These are all things that we can do, and there's probably some things that you know in your life that you could grow in. Because the truth is that we are supposed to be a representative of God. But in my life, and probably in your life too, you can get distracted by a lot of things. You can get distracted by what your employer is telling you to do. You can be sold over and over again by clients ringing your phone, by friends asking you for something, for maybe someone in your family telling you to do something over and over and over again, and you keep failing. And these things can seem really immediate, and they can seem really important because we hear them the most. But the problem is that they are not the most important. Because like I said, that God created you to image Him first, to be His representative first, to help people flourish first. So are you more concerned about your job description or your God description? Are you more concerned about your job description or your God description? Because every single person probably has a description for you and they say, I want this person to help me all the time. I want this person to, whatever your most important task at work is, to customer care or build something. Or maybe you have a project that you're working on and that can be the most important thing. But above that, on every single job description you have that you were created to do is to help people flourish. And if you're not doing that, you are missing your most important task that God created you to do, that God has made you capable of doing. This might take some reshaping in some of your life because your life will rarely take you where you want to go unless you're intentional about it. Unless you choose to prioritize things, other things will prioritize them for you. It's often not the right choices. So maybe that's reshaping how you spend your free time. Maybe instead of binge watching a Netflix series in a weekend, you can take it over a week or a month or something like that. Maybe the social media can spend a little bit less time on. Maybe it means saying no to something at work so that you can love somebody that you need to. Maybe it's something to do with your spouse. You know that you can help them flourish a little bit more. Maybe it's with your kids you can help them flourish. Maybe it's a neighbor where you can reach out to them, make them a meal that they need, or just listen to them, what's going on in their lives, and ask how things are going and not expect the typical answer of good and then walk in your house. See what's going on in people's lives. Help them flourish. For those of you who are Christians here, you know, or what you believe, at least, is that Jesus came to bring life. And the only way that He could bring life is by dying on the cross. So the only way that we can accept that life and have that life in us is through asking His forgiveness, believing in the cross, believing in what Jesus did. So if that is the only way that we can have life, the best way that we can give life is by telling other people that truth. Because that is the most life-giving thing that any person can ever have. Something I firmly believe. So if you are just showing God and you are imaging God without telling them about what He has done, you're missing a huge part of how you can give life. Because if you believe that Jesus came to die and give life to everybody who would believe, the other side of that is that you believe that those who don't believe in Jesus, they don't get that life. Fortunately, they're going to hell. So as representatives of God, we get the opportunity to tell others about that life. Because Jesus did not just die for us, He died for everybody. But He's not going to force it on any one person. He wants every person to accept the life that He died. And too often we sit on our hands and we go, not today, I'm too scared. I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say for sure. If you're not sure what to say, you can come to the training tonight, or if you still can't make it tonight to the training, you can just go and try. Just tell people about what God is doing in your life. Don't do it forcefully. Don't do it angrily. Don't do it judgmentally. Do it because God loves you, because God loves that person. And do it in a gentle way so that they can not only see God in what the words you're saying, but in the way you're saying it. Because we can miss a big point if we don't do it that way. But often, I think we sit on our hands as Christians, whether it's talking about the Bible or whether we're talking about Jesus or what we're doing. And we think that God should tell us how to do everything, but he's already told us what to do. He's already told us to image him. He's already told us to bring life, to flourish, to love, to be gentle, to be kind, to be joyful. And we go, he didn't tell me to go make food for my neighbor, so I'm not going to do that. He didn't tell me to, you know, go encourage that person who's going through a tough time. He didn't tell me to listen to that parent at my work whose child is going through a difficult time and something's going on, or someone who's battling cancer, and just to spend time with them and listen to them. Instead, we go, I'm just going to wait till God tells me what to do. If I only did stuff for Kayla when she asked me to do it, our relationship would be bad. If I only bought her flowers when she said, Bobby, go buy me flowers. If I only told her I love her when she said, Bobby, can you tell me I love you? If I only gave her a hug or whatever else when she told me to, our relationship would be bad. Because that's not a relationship, that's master-slave. I wouldn't like it, and she wouldn't either. It's when we choose to do things that we know that they would like to do where the relationship grows. The same is true with God. And God said, love me by loving people. The greatest commandment, that's shortened, that's my version of it. But when we do that, our relationship will grow. Because that is what we were created to do. You are made for a mission. But too often, we're concerned about our job descriptions instead of our God description. But there is a problem. I didn't really talk about it yet, but it happened at the very beginning in the very next verses of Genesis when we talked about Adam and Eve. That there is a problem that we no longer look exactly like God. Because we were made in that image, but unfortunately something came in the way. And that was when Adam and Eve, they chose to not act in God's image. They chose to actually sin. For those that don't know, that's basically doing anything selfish, doing anything for your own glory, rather than for God and doing what God has called you to do and helping things flourish and doing things for God. So when Adam and Eve sinned, now they no longer look like God. Forever, like they cannot, I couldn't stir this enough, I couldn't try to take out the particles enough, I can't work hard enough to get that sin out of there no matter what I do. It's in there. And it's in there for good. It happened to Adam and Eve. And unfortunately, it was passed down to all humanity. So even though my daughter is only 2.5 months old, she has been corrupted by sin. And no matter how good she is the rest of her life, if she lives a perfect life, she still is not that perfect image of God. So God did create us to be in his image. And God, in his lovingness, did not leave us on our own. God sent his son, Jesus, to live on this earth. And he lived a perfect life. He lived this life. As a human, he faced all the same troubles. He faced all the same difficulties that we face. Yet, he never sinned. He lived this life. And even though he lived this, and as he lived this life, he died on the cross to take the punishment of sin. And because he was the punishment of sin, because he lived that perfect life, because he was God, he was not tainted by sin. For those of you over there, this is what you look like, this is what God looks like now. And not only did he do that so that he could be perfect, he made it possible so that we can be cleansed. So that again, when we accept what he has done for us, we are still in his image. When we accept what Jesus did to die for us, he has forgiven us of our sins. And even though we may sin some more, I may screw up, I may not love my life well, I may not help people flourish, he has forgiven me of my sins. Jesus made it possible for us to be the image of God. Paul writes to a church in Corinth, and he's talking about basically this exact same principle. And he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life is begun." We couldn't do it on our own, so Jesus died for you. He died for me. So even though we were made for mission, it got corrupted, and Jesus died so that we can be made, I want to say, well, perfect again in his sight. That does not mean we won't sin, because we will sin. But he wants to transform us as a process over and over and over again so that we sin less and less and less, and we can do a better job of helping people flourish, do a better job of what we were made to do. I don't know where everybody is on their journey, and maybe you came in here not really believing, not really knowing about Jesus. And I am so happy that you are here. But I also want to give an opportunity for you if you are somebody who's like, I have not accepted this, and I want to. This rings true in my heart, and I want to take steps towards that. And what Paul talks about, who is the guy who basically started the first church, he says that what you need to do is believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that to ask for forgiveness and to believe that Jesus' death on the cross pays the penalty for your sins. And then commit to follow him, commit to be on mission for him, to live the life that you were made. If you're somebody here who's never made that decision before, and you want to make that decision, I'm going to say, if you want to do that, just put your hand up right now saying, I admit that I'm a sinner, I believe that Jesus' death on the cross pays a penalty for my sins, and I want to commit to follow Jesus. If that's you for the first time, I want you to just throw your hand up right now, just as a physical thing. Awesome. Yeah, there we go. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Cool. I'm going to just say a prayer, and I want the people who put up their hands, which is awesome, but also I want all people who are believers in here to also say the prayer as well and just follow me and to say, dear God, thank you for dying on the cross. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that your death paid the penalty for my sins. I commit to follow you. Help me to go on mission for you. Amen. Awesome. That is really exciting, guys. If you did make that choice, whether you put your hand up or not for the first time, there's a party going on in heaven. And that's what Jesus talks about. And there's So we're really excited for you. We want to help you go on that journey together. So come talk to me or Barry or somebody else on leadership or in the church to help you do that, because it's a lifestyle. It's not something that's going to happen right away. But that's so exciting. I'm really excited for you guys. For the other people here who are Christians, and they know that they're probably not living the God description like they could. And that's true for all of us, whether you've been a Christian for 80 years and you've memorized the whole Bible or not. You still can grow in this way. And I can still grow in this way. Maybe you know that's going to take some reshaping of your life. You know that there's something that you should probably move down your job description list so that your God description can move above it. Maybe that's your emphasis on work. Maybe that's your emphasis on what's going on at your house, a project that's going on. Maybe that's an emphasis on, I don't know what it is, maybe it's your own pleasure, your own time, and you know that if you lived out your God description, you can be blessed, guys. Again, I want to emphasize that living out that God description is the life that is most blessed. So there's hopefully things going on in your mind where you know that maybe I should spend more time hanging out with this person. Maybe I can make a meal for that person who's going through a difficult time. Maybe I can ask the person at work, just listen to them because you know they're going through a difficult time. I don't know what that looks like for all of you, and I can't tell all of you what that looks like. But you guys should have a good idea of how to help people flourish. You know people around you that bring life to you. Do the same to others. Guys, if we live this out, God is irresistible. When we show God's love and his flourishing, multiplying, just wanting to love every person so much, it is irresistible. But he has commissioned us to show it. He has said, I'm going to put you, mankind, I'm going to commission you, I'm going to put you on mission to show me. So when we don't do that, guys, we are missing out not only on a blessed life, but what we were made to do. So this week, I want to encourage you to worry more about your God description than your job description. I'm going to just pray. I'm going to invite the worship team up to do one song. So you guys can, go up now. But God, thank you so much. I thank you so much for the people that have chosen to ask for forgiveness and just live that life for you, God, that you did die for them. You did love them so much that you would pay the penalty for their sins. I just want to praise you for showing people your love, bringing life in that way. God, I also pray for you to move in people and help them more and more live out the life that they were made to live. That they would live a life that shows you, that represents you, and the way that you love and care and just want joy and peace and patience for every person, God. And I pray that that would just grow in each of us this next week, God. I pray for each of us to be able to act in that way, to remember that, to put our God description above our job description. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.